Mostly clear, 45 degrees at 6:09. Along with Adam Carter, I'm Laura Oakes, WCCO News. And coming up on the WCCO 6 o'clock news, a massive search, but no new clues in the disappearance of Jamie Kloss.
But first, it's time to check traffic and weather together. We head to the traffic center. Here's Jerry Peterson.
Yeah, just getting rid of a stalled vehicle blocking the right lane. Eastbound 394 as you make way toward Highway 100. Traffic already slow in that immediate area. Westbound continues to be pretty much on the sluggish side as you move out to downtown, out toward Hopkins Crossroad, where the accident there off to the right side has just cleared out in the last few minutes. Cedar South slowing across the River Bridge toward Highway 13. And you're going to find some slowing south 169 Anderson Lakes Parkway heading down to Old Shakopee Road. Your traffic and weather together exclusively on WCCO. Next update, 6:30.
And tonight we'll have clear skies down to 29 degrees. Nice day tomorrow. Sunshine high of 51. Then the rain moves in on Wednesday night into Thursday and the next few days after that. Probably a little on the wet side. Right now we have fair skies, 45 degrees. WCCO News Time is 6:10.
The hour's top story. A few thousand volunteers continued to search for 13-year-old Jamie Kloss in western Wisconsin today, 8 days after she went missing when her parents were shot to death in her home.
The search area is 2 square miles in all directions around the Kloss family home on the west side of Barron. The call went out for 2,000 volunteers, and they showed up in droves. Barbara Cedar works in town.
Community together. They stick together. That's for sure. It's not like in a big town where nobody knows nobody, you know. Everybody knows everybody here. So, yeah, they're really, really sticking together.
Team leaders told the volunteers to look for things like cell phones, guns, and clothes. Anything that looks out of the ordinary in an open field. Scott Hall came from the Twin Cities.
Feeling like, wow, what a... It's great to have so many people here, but it's a massive job when you think of a big country, even with 2,000 people. I think it's probably hard to find... It's hard to find someone or something.
Sheriff Chris Fitzgerald says the area around the Kloss home was requested for this massive search by investigators who've been working the case for more than a week. In Barron, Wisconsin, Al Schock, WCCO.
And authorities say today's search did not turn up any significant evidence.
Patty Wetterling, a longtime advocate for children's safety, says the hope must be kept alive for Jamie Kloss' safe return. Since her son Jacob was abducted and murdered in 1989, she's followed cases of missing children. On WCCO with Chad Hartman today, Wetterling says following this case in western Wisconsin has reignited painful memories.
Oh, gosh, it brings you back. It brings you back to the beginning and how the terror. I think about what's going on in that community and the sheer terror of other families and neighbors and classmates of Jamie and relatives, cousins, and so it's a very dark place to be, but the groundswell of support is so meaningful to everybody. It's important for them to be together, and it's important for them to have some action to do.
She says the massive search in Barron today shows how there's more good in the world than bad. Wetterling says recovery rates have improved drastically in the decades since Jacob's disappearance due to Amber Alerts, social media, better training and technology.
Some news from the Vikings today as it's being announced that defensive end Everson Griffin will resume team activities tomorrow. Griffin has been away from the team since mid-September when he was asked to stay away due to erratic behavior. Some bizarre incidents involving Griffin soon followed. It's not clear when Griffin would be able to play.
As the temperature drops, concerns rise about fire dangers at the Minneapolis homeless encampment.
It's getting late in the day and Tom Longy is preparing for another cold night outside. He's been staying at the homeless encampment for about a week now. He told me how he survives.
Layers of blankets or sleeping bags, one inside the other, hats, long underwear, many socks.
And you sleep with all that?
Yeah, well, sometimes if the wind's really bad, and the wind has been really bad, and it'll blow underneath a teepee like that, and you better layer up.
Some have set up campfires around the encampment that's grown to well over 200 tents. James Allen Cross says our recent cold hasn't diminished the numbers.
No, not yet, no, because this ain't cold to people that have been out here, right? You get used to this weather, and they're staying.
Cross is a volunteer with Natives Against Heroin. He's been told by the Minneapolis Fire Department they're not permitted to have fires at the encampment, and they're asking people to stop bringing firewood to the folks staying there. There's a large tent set up in the middle of the encampment with a wood-burning stove. How many people can you fit in this tent that you have here?
We can fit probably 30, 35, you know, sitting up, probably, 20 laying down, you know, but it's heated, it's You see, it's a safe unit.
Many are hoping to stay outside until the city's navigation center opens. Some plan to go, but Alan Cross says many will stay behind through the winter. Sherry Lynn, who's been at the encampment since August 1st, says she stayed outside through the winter once before. She's been homeless for 3 years.
It's doable. I mean, I got two stoves, single burners, and then I have a heater, too.
Edgar Linares, WCCO.
A few weeks left before the midterms, and WCCO Radio is going behind the ballot each day leading up to Election Day. The heads of both major parties are saying the surge in women running for office can be traced back to President Trump's election. DFL Chair Ken Martin.
In terms of the Women's March and the Me Too movement and other sort of pieces that have contributed to more and more women stepping forward. I would also say a big part of that is that parties and organizations are putting a lot more effort and intentionality behind not only recruiting candidates, but grooming women candidates to run.
By the numbers, more women are running on the Democratic side compared to the Republican side. Head of the Minnesota Republican Party, Jennifer Carnahan.
I do think part of it can be attributed to the fact that there are more women Democrats, so there's a bigger candidate pool. But I think there's also a bigger candidate pool because women Democrats see themselves as more viable candidates than women Republicans.
And you can hear this entire Behind the Ballot piece coming up at 6:25.
Fair skies, 45 degrees, 6:15 on the WCCO 6 o'clock news. Coming up, more on Everson Griffin's return to the Vikings and a rough day on Wall Street for a local legacy company. It's coming up on the 6 o'clock news.
Covering all of Minnesota and the upper Midwest, this is the WCCO 6 o'clock news.
Fair skies, 45 degrees, WCCO news time, 6:17.
And R.W. Baird Financial brings us tonight's Bloomberg Twin Cities Market Update with Elisa Parenti.
Stocks came back from deeper losses but still finished in the red. The Dow down 126 points, NASDAQ lower by 31, S&P off 15. The Bloomberg WCCO Twin Cities Index was lower by 0.5%. Maplewood-based 3M cut its annual profit forecast for the third time this year, saying its quarterly sales fell in the healthcare and consumer divisions. Stock in 3M tumbled more than 4%. It was the second biggest decliner on the Dow. A pledge from Saudi Arabia to compensate for less oil from Iran because of sanctions sent the price of oil tumbling down more than $3 to settle at $66.43. Caterpillar has never been more profitable, but instead of celebrating, investors fear CAT's record quarter can't be topped. The world's largest mining and construction equipment maker also warned its costs are going up as trade disputes increase the price of steel. The owner of MoviePass is looking to break up with the embattled subscription business. Helios and Matheson Analytics plans to spin off MoviePass as a publicly held company on NASDAQ. The move is a bid to restore the reputation of Helios and Matheson after it lost nearly 100% of its value this year, hammered by concerns that MoviePass will torpedo the company. With a Bloomberg Business Update, I'm Elisa Parenti on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Sports time now on CCO. Kind of a quiet night on the sports landscape here in the Twin Cities. The Wolves getting a victory last night against the Indiana Pacers. They'll head north of the border tomorrow night against the Toronto Raptors, who are undefeated. That'll be a 6 o'clock pregame here on WCCO Radio. As we mentioned in the news, defensive end Everson Griffin is returning to the Vikings. He'll resume team activities tomorrow. He's been away from the team since mid-September after some bizarre incidents. Griffin saying, quote, today through a statement that while this is an exciting and positive move forward for me, it is only the next step in a longer process. It is not clear when Griffin would be able to play. The New Orleans Saints returning to U.S. Bank Stadium Sunday for the second time this year. We all remember how that first game ended with the Minneapolis Miracle. Head coach Mike Zimmer, usually a man of few words, but he was quite loquacious when talking about Saints quarterback Drew Brees and how the Vikings are preparing for him.
Different than it has been the last 2 weeks. This guy is amazing. I've always thought, when you talk about Hall of Fame quarterbacks, obviously he's going to be one. But he's very cerebral, accurate. He's moving well in the pocket. I was watching tape today, and I'm like, how old is this guy? I thought he was, getting old. But he moves well in the pocket. He's not really a runner, but he scrambles. And usually to find guys open. And he knows where to go with the football, and he's extremely accurate. They've got a great scheme. They eat all kinds of things. They've got all different personnel groups.
It's a Sunday night primetime game for the Vikings and Saints, 7:30 p.m. from U.S. Bank Stadium. And if you had any doubts as to how the Lindsay effect would be on Gopher women's basketball, listen to this. Gopher's first home game with the new head coach, Lindsay Whalen, is a sellout at Williams Arena. That, according to the Gopher Athletic Department, this will be a November 9th game as the Gophers hosting New Hampshire. It's the first sellout for the Gopher women's basketball team since 2005. That's when Whalen was playing with the Gophers.
In WCCO News Time, 6:21. Coming up, we go behind the ballot and find out how women are impacting the 2018 midterms. Stay tuned to the WCCO 6 o'clock news.
Fair skies, 45 degrees, WCCO News Time, 6:23.
With 2 weeks to go now until Election Day, we continue a look at some of the races and issues affecting Minnesotans. Democrats and Republicans say the Trump effect has fired up women on both sides to run for political office. WCCO's Edgar Linares goes behind the ballot, brought to you by the Minnesota Credit Union.
It's a statistic often heard.
It takes a woman seven times being asked to run for office before they finally do, compared to a man that it usually just takes one time.
Right now, there's more women running for office on both sides than ever before. In the Minnesota House, for example, there are 63 Democratic women running compared to 25 Republican women. Chair of Minnesota's Democratic Party, Ken Martin.
Our party is actively recruiting women candidates to run for these seats.
A lot of it's societal. Like, a woman is not necessarily going to jump up and raise her hand and say, hey, I want to run for Congress tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to step up and run for U.S. Senate. I want to be the governor. You know, they have to be asked. They have to be pulled.
That's Republican Chair Jennifer Carnahan, Minnesota's first Republican chairwoman. Around the country, there are about 12 to 13 women in her position. Head of Minnesota's Democratic Farm Labor Party, Ken Martin, says you can date back the surge of women running for office shortly after President Trump was elected.
In terms of the Women's March and the Me Too movement and other sort of pieces that have contributed to more and more women stepping forward. I would also say a big part of that is that parties and organizations are putting a lot more effort and intentionality behind not only recruiting candidates, but grooming women candidates to run.
Carnahan says it's the same with the Republican Party.
Most of the Trump base that came into the Republican Party in 2016 and have stuck around and have grown with our party, they're women.
And those women are running to support President Trump. She had this to say why there are more women running in the Democratic Party.
I do think part of it can be attributed to the fact that there are more women Democrats, so there's a bigger candidate pool. But I think there's also a bigger candidate pool because women Democrats see themselves as more viable candidates than women Republicans.
Ken Martin went on to say they believe passionately that women make better leaders for a host of reasons. Edgar Linares, WCCO.
Well, no reports of any significant developments following a massive search for Jamie Kloss today. She's the 13-year-old Western Wisconsin girl who went missing after her parents were found shot to death 8 days ago. WCCO's Al Schock went to Barron today, where volunteers gathered, then began fanning out looking for any clues that may lead to Jamie or why her parents were killed.
All right, everybody, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, we want to thank everybody for coming. You're all signed in. As you know, we're searching for 13-year-old Jamie Kloss.
They called for 2,000 volunteers, and that's about how many showed up at the staging area north of Barron. They've separated into about a dozen groups, and Jeff Harris runs down search instructions.
We're looking for cell phones, guns, clothes, personal items, something that looks out of the ordinary.
Brad Qualls works in law enforcement in Chippewa Falls and took the day off to help in the search.
You've seen a lot of stuff over the last few years, so, you know, it's sad, but what are you going to do?
Right.
You know, we're hoping that we just put some closure. You know, we're hoping that we find her alive, but chances are that being that the time has been so far along, you know, it ain't looking good.
Barbara Steeter worked across the street from the place of employment of both James and Denise Kloss.
I worked with him for a little bit, but I didn't know him on a personal level, you know, just, or him coming in here and saying hi and stuff and buying his stuff when he needed.
What's it like knowing he's never coming back?
Horrible. I cannot even talk about it. Just mind-blowing.
Today's search area is 2 square miles around the house where the shootings took place and where Jamie Kloss disappeared. In Barron, Wisconsin, Al Schock, WCCO.
$1.6 billion on the line tonight for the record Mega Millions jackpot. That has people dreaming big. But University of Nebraska mathematician Andrew Swift says obviously the odds of winning are very, very small. And he says not to get too bogged down in the numbers that you choose.
Some people would say, well, you shouldn't play 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, because that's never going to come out, but it's got just as much chance as any other combination.
Powerball's jackpot for tomorrow night's drawing is up to over $600 million.
Sandra Day O'Connor, the first woman on the U.S. Supreme Court, says she's had the beginning stages of dementia and probably Alzheimer's disease. O'Connor made the announcement in a letter today. She says her diagnosis was made some time ago and that her condition has progressed, that she is no longer able to participate in public life. O'Connor, 88, was nominated by President Ronald Reagan, took her seat on the High Court in 1981.
Many folks put a lot of effort into costumes for their pets on Halloween. Here's what to keep in mind when getting them in the spooky spirit.
Costumes on other pets and humans can be overwhelming. It's an abnormal night with the parties, excited kids, and the doorbell going off. One way to help assuage that is to make sure the pet is comfortable with their costume well ahead of time.
You always want to make sure that they can move freely, they can vocalize, they can see and hear, and none of their senses are masked.
Liv Hagen is with the Animal Humane Society of Minnesota. Look for non-toxic materials in costumes and avoid dangling accessories that could be chewed or swallowed. Hagen recommends having a plan in place for Halloween night, like a quiet room, in case the commotion stresses a pet out too much. Sloan Martin, WCCO.
And another tip is to always keep candy out of reach of pets.
629 WCCO traffic, weather, and a CBS News update coming up.
W northbound at County Road C, update brought to you by DEA Take Back Day. 35W northbound at County Road C, trailer came loose from a vehicle. State Patrol just getting word they're headed that way. Construction in place, North 35W at Cliff Road. That's traffic on CCO.
Clear skies tonight, overnight low around 29. Tomorrow, another nice sunny day, high near 51. Then some rain moving in for Thursday and Friday with highs around 50. Right now in the Twin Cities, not much of a wind out there. Fair skies, 45 degrees at WCCORadio.com.
CBS News update.
But I would say it was a total fiasco.
President Trump says the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi should never have happened and involved the worst cover-up ever.
The process was no good. The execution was no good, and the cover-up, if you want to call it that, was certainly no good.
The U.S. is revoking or withholding visas from 21 Saudi officials believed to be involved in what Turkey's president called a brutal premeditated murder. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said these penalties will not be the last word on the matter from the U.S.
We have identified at least some of the individuals responsible, including those in the intelligence services, the royal court, the foreign ministry, and other Saudi ministries who we suspect to have been involved in Mr. Khashoggi's death.
Under consideration, the Magnitsky Act, which would impose financial sanctions on individuals involved in Khashoggi's death. CBS News Update, I'm Pam Coulter.
And WCCO News Time is 6:32.